Hello again, Madison, and those of you listening by computer, this is Pastor Evangelist Robert Venable inviting you to stay tuned for this edition of Let's Talk About Jesus. We have a very important message to bring you today, so please, please, don't touch that dial. We're so glad to be with you once again right here on WMAF, your hometown family friendly radio station. Praise God. And if you're listening by computer, we know you've already discovered this station and you're enjoying the wonderful broadcasting here. And we pray that we might add to the edifying work of this station as we bring you a message from God's Word. If you've been listening to the fine Christian music here and the classic country music, you know what a good station this is. I don't have to tell you. You're blessed in Madison to have such a station. I'm in a far bigger place than Madison. I'm in the Tampa, Plant City, Brandon, St. Petersburg. It's all kind of running together now. Here in this part of Central Florida. We just don't have a station like this. And it is so good to be able to turn on my computer, go to the homepage of WMAF Home, and up in the right-hand corner, click on it and have the same streaming 24-hour broadcasting that you're getting right there in Madison. So you are a blessed little town in Florida, and we're blessed to be part of your hometown broadcasting there. And as well, because of the World Wide Web, this gospel goes to places and people and nations that we could never, ever dream of reaching if we were on the most powerful station in Tampa and it wasn't on the World Wide Web. It wouldn't go where WMAF allows us to go. If you appreciate this station, you should give them a ring sometime. Drop them a postcard. If that signal went down and you turned on here and it just wasn't there anymore, if it changed and didn't have the same format, you would miss this station. We used to have a hometown station here in Plant City, where my home is. My church is in Tampa. My home is in Plant City. And when WPLA went off the air, that hometown station, there's never been any station anywhere that we could pull in to replace that. So we're grateful to be part of a hometown station right there in Madison, and we're glad to be part of the broadcast family. We're glad you're part of the listening family of WMAF. And so if you ever get the opportunity, I always ask people, let us know if we're a blessing to you and give our website. Well, drop a postcard, drop a line, stop by the station. And tell them it means a lot to people when you just let them know that they're being a blessing to you. A lot of fine people right there, and you know all the DJs, and you know most of the people because this is a hometown station. Now, we're going to move in to the message today. It's an important message, and it's a message that needs to be proclaimed more now than it has ever been proclaimed since it was proclaimed in Scripture, because I believe that we are living in the last of the last days. I used to say we're living in the last days, but I have the urgency of the hour demands that we requalify that statement in my view, and that is that we are living in the last of the last days. A lot of discouraging, disconcerting things are taking place to fulfill the prophecies concerning the last of the last days. The good news in the midst of all of this negativity around us as Christians is, amen, the Bible said in Jesus speaking about these times that we're facing right now, he said, when you see these things, these prophecy fulfilling circumstances and events, lift up your head, your redemption draweth nigh. That is the only hope for this world, is that Jesus will return and he will take over this planet. Praise God. Amen. Dethrone the devil and bring the love and the joy and the peace and the fulfillment and the end of all wars. Praise God. Jesus is the Prince of Peace, and I can't wait until until He comes. It's real important that we live our lives as Christians right now in the light of the second coming or His soon coming. So we want to talk to you out of a communion scripture today that is supposed to be this wonderful, wonderful gift of communion that the Lord established for the church and that we carry on the first Sunday in our church. There's no setting on this except as often as you do it in remembrance of me. But it is supposed to be, every time we do it, not only a looking back to the cross, but looking forward to the soon coming of Jesus Christ. Most people associate Holy Communion with looking back to the cross, period. Well, it doesn't stop with just looking back to the cross. It looks to the present and the relevance of the cross to our daily life, and it looks past the present into the very, not distant future, but the very immediate future now in this generation, the soon coming of Jesus Christ. Listen to 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 26. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, Paul said, you do show the Lord's death till He come. I love the Amplified of that. It said, for every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you are representing and signifying and proclaiming the fact of the Lord's death till He come again. You know, if you're not a Christian listening to this broadcast today, I believe that deep in your heart, deep in your soul, you know that things in this world as they are cannot continue much longer. There's going to come radical, dramatic changes in our world. And we all have a sense, whether you're a Christian or not, that something is about to take place. Something big is about to happen to this planet. I'm not talking about global warming or some of those long-term things that are way out, maybe beyond our lifetime, is going to bring cataclysmic events. I'm not talking just about a comet or an asteroid that may wander into our solar system and threaten us. I'm talking about the coming of Jesus Christ and what that will mean to the church and the Christian and what it will mean to the world after that event takes place. But I want to make this statement today. Every time we receive Holy Communion as Christians, we are reminded that Jesus is coming again. From the first century church to the 21st century church, the Lord's Supper is to be received as a proclamation of His death for us and His coming for us. Well, if we were in China right now, you know what? I would be thrown in prison for what I'm about to do, and that is to preach a sermon on the return of Christ. Because that is the one doctrine of the Christian faith that is officially forbidden to be preached by pastors in the church in China. You see, the communist officials understand something that maybe a lot of Christians don't really comprehend and understand. And that is that the doctrine of the return of Christ is not a peripheral doctrine. It is not optional. It is one of those, it's not one of those take it or leave it fringe doctrines of the faith. No, because you see, if people really believe that one day the end of history is going to occur and Jesus is going to return in all of His glory and victory and establish His kingdom above all other kingdoms, well, then people are not going to take the powers, principalities, governments, and political systems of this world all that seriously. We're going to take them with a grain of salt. You just can't have people both looking for the return of Christ and taking the Chinese communist government all that seriously. So you ban the preaching of the return of Christ. It is a core doctrine of the Christian faith. Over 300 times in the New Testament alone, reference is made to the second coming of Christ. That is one out of every 30 verses. A Scottish pastor has said that the doctrine of the return of Christ is like a lofty mountain that dominates the entire landscape of the New Testament. And if you and I read the New Testament cover to cover, that mountain jumps out at us almost at every turn in the way. And so it's an important doctrine. But I have to ask the question today, why then do we hear so little preaching or teaching on the soon coming of Jesus in the church today? For whatever reasons, we seem to shy away from it. Yet a recent U.S. News and World Report survey showed that 2/3 of all Americans say they believe that Christ is going to return one day. 67% of them said they believed that they would come, that the world would come to an end at some time in history. U.S. News and World Report did that same survey a few years ago, and in the same few years since then, the belief in the return of Christ has risen 5%. You've got a lot of people out there expecting the return of Jesus Christ, interested in the return of Jesus Christ. But in some circles, if not many, the church is pretty much silent in its preaching and teaching on it. But in Holy Communion, we proclaim that Jesus died for us on a cruel cross, and through that ultimate sacrifice, He purchased our salvation with His own blood. So Holy Communion looks back to the cross, but it doesn't just look back, it looks forward to His coming. This looking forward to the Lord's return is called the blessed hope in Titus chapter 2, verse 11 through 13. Listen to it. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Praise God. Someone said, what is the special character of biblical hope? And we answered, biblical hope is not finger crossing. It's a confident expectation of good things to come. Hebrews calls it the full assurance of hope. And the Bible said the reason we have hope, the blessed hope, the hope that reaches beyond all of the negativity and circumstantial things that we see around us. You know, the Bible said one of the signs of the last days, the beginning of entering into that tribulation period, that men's hearts would fail them for fear and for looking at the things which are coming upon the earth. But we who know what these signs represent, as negative as they are, we don't look for a hopeless end. Hallelujah. We're looking to an endless hope. Praise God, because we're looking for the soon coming of our Savior, God's Son, Jesus Christ. The center of Christianity is the coming of the Son of God into the world as a real man to destroy the works of the devil and create a new people for His own glory. The very heart of our faith is that He did this by obeying the law of God, dying for the sins of His people, rising victorious over death, ascending to God's right hand with all His enemies under His feet. The second coming of Jesus Christ is the consummation and the completion of His saving work. If you take it away, the whole fabric of His saving work would unravel. The coming of Christ for His bride, the church, is the consummation of the cross, the confirmation of the resurrection. On the cross, Christ purchased our redemption. When He comes again, He completes our redemption. He claims His purchased possession. The remembrance of our Lord's death and the Holy Communion service revives in us a hope of His return. Since He commanded us to do it till He comes, the Lord assures us that He will come again to take us unto Himself. Hence, as we commune with Him now, under the veil of these earthly elements, we are assured that we shall sometime and even soon behold Him face to face and rejoice in the glory of His appearing. This is a blessed hope if you are a Christian. And listen, friend, if you've listened to this point, the halfway point is already here in this broadcast. And if you've listened to this point and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, I believe something has already resonated with you. I don't believe that it is such a surprise to hear that Jesus is coming soon to you. I believe the Holy Spirit's way ahead of all of us proclaiming and preaching the gospel. I believe that there is a seed of surety that Jesus is coming soon, that the world is not going to continue like it has on and on and on, that something big is about to happen. I am convinced the Holy Spirit is convincing men and women, boys and girls. There's an uneasiness and an uncertainty about the future. And it's not any of the headlines in and of themselves that we read. It is the sense that things are not going to continue as they are. Something big is about to happen. Something crucial is about to take place. Something of critical importance is about to occur. And that something is the coming of Jesus Christ. This is a blessed hope if you're a Christian. The Bible teaches that in the last days, men's hearts will fail them for fear and for looking at the things which are coming on the earth. What a contrast our Savior teaches us. When you see these things begin to come to pass, lift up your head, for your redemption draweth nigh. This is not looking back toward the cross where we were redeemed by His blood from sin's penalty. It's looking forward to His coming, where we are redeemed from sin's presence and consequence. Praise God. The two great themes that are at the core of the Christian faith is the crucifixion with the resurrection and the coming of the Lord. The cross and the coming of the Lord constitutes the foundation for all Christian hope. Praise God. Let me read this from Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 28. Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for Him shall He appear the second time without sin unto salvation. I like this in the Amplified. It does just what the Amplified says. It amplifies it. It just volumizes. It turns the volume up. Praise God. It said, even so it is that Christ, having been offered to take upon Himself and bear as a burden the sins of many, once and once for all, will appear a second time, not to carry any burden of sin or to deal with sin, but to bring full salvation to those who are eagerly, constantly, and patiently waiting for and expecting Him. Praise God. I want to read that again. Eagerly, constantly, patiently, waiting for and expecting Him to return. Praise God. Amen. This should be the attitude of every Christian today. Every Christian, without exception, should not be earthbound. We should be reading our paper in light of the prophecies and getting ready for the soon coming of Jesus. You know, Jesus taught, be ye also ready, for in an hour you think not, the Son of Man cometh. That doesn't mean that we don't know it's close. It just means when it happens, it will come very quickly. It will come as a snare, the Bible said. It's going to come as a moment. in a twinkling of an eye. And it might be in the middle of while I'm making this broadcast. It could happen before I'm through preaching. And even though I'm expecting Him to come, it would still be an amazing surprise if it happened this very day. It's going to happen one of these days, one of these moments, some split second in time, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, we're going to be changed. Hallelujah. Amen. You know, the Bible said in 1 Thessalonians that the dead in Christ are going to rise first, and with the trump of God, with the voice of the archangel, and we which are alive and remain, when the Lord descends from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, the trump of God, the dead in Christ will rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up with them to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. We call this the rapture. Rapture is not a word that we find in the Bible, but this biblical truth that it describes is well documented in Scripture. Jesus is coming for His people, and then Jesus is coming to stand upon Mount Olivet, amen, and to rule and reign from the earth, His throne upon the earth, instead of just His throne in heaven. Incredible days are ahead for us. Mighty days, crucial days, critical days, scary days, unless you know Jesus as your personal Savior. If you know Jesus as your Savior, when He comes and you're looking for Him eagerly, constantly, patiently, expecting Him, you're going to be ready. Praise God. And to them that look with that attitude, He shall appear the second time without sin unto glory. Praise God. Listen, if you don't know the Lord today, friend, He loves you so very much. God gave His Son to die for you on the cross so you could be ready when the Lord comes, so that when this world actually experiences the time of Jacob's trouble, the great tribulation, that you can be hid in Christ, in God. Such events are going to come upon this earth that the Bible said men are going to cry into the mountains, both the great men and the small, and it just covers all of humanity. Whether we're rich or poor, well known or obscure, it doesn't matter. That there will be no mighty men in that day. All will call upon the rocks and the mountains, looking for some place to be hid from the face of Him that sits upon the throne and the wrath of the Lamb in the book of Revelation. Listen to me. You don't have to be afraid to face God. You can come to know Christ as your Savior. You can have every sin forgiven. You can be sealed by the Holy Spirit until the day of redemption. You know what that word sealed means? My wife makes strawberry preserves here in Plant City every season with fresh strawberries, and no offense to Smucker's, but Smucker's can't touch it. And I listen as she puts it in those jars, those mason jars, puts the top on, and I listen for those jars to pop, to seal. Well, that's not the kind of sealing this is talking about. This sealing literally means, that word seal in the Greek means a mark, literally a brand. Praise God. We have been branded as God's own. We have been marked for mercy, not marked for judgment. Praise the Lord. Amen. And the Bible said in the New Testament that we, as Christians, the Christian community, we have not been appointed to wrath, but to obtain salvation through Jesus Christ. Listen, friend, when God's righteous indignation, His justifiable anger called wrath, is poured out on this earth, we are going to be hid in Christ, in God. And God has made a provision for us. Jesus is coming soon to rescue us. Praise God. Hallelujah. To transport us from this world into that everlasting kingdom and the world to come. Oh, friend, you don't want to miss the coming of Jesus. You don't want to be left here to face what this old world is about to face. And God loves you today, and He wants you to know His Son as your personal Savior. this could be the greatest Christmas that you have ever celebrated. You know, the stores are already predicting that their sales are not going to be very great this year, that people are going to kind of pull back and hold back because of the recession. Well, if you accept Jesus and you really get into the real reason for the season, it's not about a package under a tree. It's about a baby in a manger in Bethlehem that didn't stay, that pretty little baby in that humble little manger, but grew to be a man of 33 years of age, and at 33 gave himself for you and me. He was taken to an old rugged cross. He was beaten like no one was ever beaten. His visage marred more than any man's. But then taken from that terrible scourging and then nailed to a cross where he hung for 6 solid hours in agony until he cried, Tetelestai, one word in the Greek language that means paid in full. We translate it, it is complete. It is finished. In other words, our sin debt is paid in full. It's finished. Praise God. Hallelujah. There's no good news like this good news to this world in these last of the last days. See, the coming of our Savior will prove our great God's dominion over death. Our bodies will be transformed when He comes. Philippians 3:20 and 21 says, For our conversation is in heaven, from whence we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto His glorious body, according to the working whereby He is able even to subdue all things unto Himself. Someone asked me one time, Brother Venable, what about people that have been cremated? What about people that have been blown up in an explosion, burned up in a fire? What about people that have drowned at sea and the sharks have divided their bodies, digested their flesh, scattered their bones? What about those people? Well, if any one of those knew Christ as their Savior, the Bible said that He's able to subdue all things unto Himself. Let me read it from the Amplified. But we are citizens of the state, commonwealth, homeland, which is in heaven. And from it we also earnestly and patiently await the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, as Savior, who will transform and fashion anew the body of our humiliation to conform to and be like the body of His glory and majesty by exerting that power which enables Him even to subject everything unto Himself. God knows where all those molecules are. God knows where all of those bits and pieces, and God knows every little minute part of us. He knows how to take it like a mosaic and put it all back together and refashion it for eternity. Praise the Lord. God doesn't need a mummy to reanimate you or me. Praise God. Amen. In fact, the Bible said that the body goes back to the dust. And you know what Job said? I love what Job said. He said, though the skin worms eat my flesh, yet in my flesh I shall see the Lord. For when He stands on the earth, even if the skin worms have eaten the flesh off my bones, in my body with flesh and bones, I'm going to see the Lord. Oh, friend, what a message. What a wonderful privilege to declare unto you today that you can know Jesus as your Lord and your personal Savior. And if you don't know Him as your Savior, you don't want to be left here when all of these things begin to transpire. Hallelujah. You want to be one of those who have been washed in the blood of the Lamb. You want to be one of those who's ready for the soon coming of Jesus Christ. So would you pray with me right now? Say, Preacher, I want to accept Jesus as my Savior. I want to be sealed by the Holy Spirit until the day of redemption. Oh, friend. And if you're a Christian today, you're a Christian today and you're just caught up with all the cares of this world, responsibilities, burdens, persecutions, tests and trials, would you just lift your head up today as I declare to you once again from the Word of God, friend, all of this means that our redemption is drawing nigh. Well, we love you. Would you come back next week and let's talk about Jesus.